Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Amen. In the Old Testament, what a powerful thing happened in his life. Almost makes me want to preach on it today. Amen. When you see the vile, evil, wicked man that he was, and an encounter with God's mercy, what a change it made. God could have just judged him and killed him, but God saw in his heart that if he ever discovered the mercy that God offered, it would change his life. And when God sees that in the heart, amen, he moves to that end, amen, to transform that life. What kind of heart do you have today? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe God can see something in there worth salvaging? In spite of ourselves and our weaknesses and our failures? I'll tell you, we're going to rejoice before we leave here in the mercies of the Lord. Is anybody ready to receive the offering? Amen. You did it. Boy, that was quick and painless. I hardly noticed who was giving. Praise God. I didn't look at anybody, did I? Wow. Hallelujah. Thank you. We're going to build a church on these consistent offerings from faithful people. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Lamentations. We've been studying on this scripture in terms of God's faithfulness, his character and nature of faithfulness. But I want to talk about remembrance today. I want to talk about remembering the mercy of a loving God. Everybody say, remembering the mercy of a loving God. Now, we got to go toward mercy after all that the Lord has said so far in this service today. There's no way around it. That's why I'm so excited about what mercy can do. I heard Mike Murdoch sing a song one time that mercy rewrote my life. Amen. If there was a script for your life before mercy touched it, it was that you were going down a road toward destruction. Amen. That every step of your life would lead you closer to final destruction, not destroyed forever, but a destruction that would be ongoing after this life is over, an eternal death in an eternal place of torment. That is a staggering thought. Thank God for the mercy that headed you off. Can you say amen? God did not owe that to anybody in this room. How many know God did not owe you that second chance? God did not owe you the gift of his son on the cross. Christ did not owe you to go there for you. It was nothing he owed you. I love the song that really typifies that. It said, I bought a debt I couldn't pay, and it was growing every day, and Jesus paid it all for me. It was our sin debt that he was paying in full on Calvary. When he said it is finished, it was the same one word that was stamped, literally stamped or written over a deed that had been paid off. When that had been paid in full, amen, the way that you could confirm it is the person who was holding the deed until it was paid in full would write this word, teleleste, amen, or whatever it is, praise God. That's pretty close in the Greek, amen, or in the Aramaic. They would write the one word that is interpreted so we can understand it, amen, to say it is accomplished or it is finished. It was the paying of a sin debt. So it was the word that was used for paid in full. Everybody say paid in full. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hallelujah. Amen. Sin had brought a crimson stain and Jesus washed it white as snow. Everybody say thank God for your mercy. It's all because of mercy. In the midst of Jeremiah's troubled times, you'll know this. I'm just going to read it about recalling to mind because remembering, as one man has said so clearly, was it's not just the recalling to the mind and then forgetting and recalling and forgetting. We're not supposed to recall this to mind during communion and forget it till the next communion service so that we just have it for this one Sunday morning. If you see people that are inconsistent in the Lord, when they remember certain things and they respond to God in love and devotion for a little while, then they too easily walk out of that presence and they forget. Can you say amen? And it's in that failing to remember things that are so powerful and stimulating to us to serve God and stay devoted to him. You've got to remember from whence you're fallen to even get back to the first love. But it's not just remembering by saying, I'm going to stop and think until I can recall it back alone. That's not enough. You've got to hold it or sustain it in your thoughts. Looking unto Jesus, we can't look to him by seeing him with the physical eye. He's not here physically to look upon. So it's got to be sustaining him in our thoughts, dwelling and meditating upon him. Can you say amen? You can't look to Jesus by seeing him with your physical eye, but you can sustain him in your thoughts. You can remember. The Holy Ghost said when he comes, he will tell you everything that Jesus has said to you. He will bring it to your what? Your remembrance. And I love the way he does it. It's not just recalling scripture. Amen. It's not just being able to remember with a photographic memory. It's recalling what he said in the same anointing, at the in the same presence, in the same personal presence that he spoke it in. The word will never become alive into you until you hear Jesus talking to you through it. It's not enough to hear what the preacher says. You need to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And what did the Spirit say to the church through John's letters? What Jesus told John to write. Amen? It's what Jesus says. Amen? I might be able to take or leave what the preacher says. Take the parts I like and leave the parts I don't. But when Christ talks to me, it changes everything. He's my master. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's the one that I love. Hallelujah. And when I hear him talk, as I hear the word preached, it goes deep into my heart and it begins to affect everything in my life. Amen. So in Lamentations 21 through 23, 3:21 through 23, Jeremiah simply says, "This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope." It's of the Lord's mercies. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now we could just say great is thy faithfulness and talk about his integrity, his character that never changes, the unchanging God, the faithful God. But he's faithful to show mercy. And that's where this particular verse leaps out at us. Great is your faithfulness in a particular way that was so vital to the victory of this depressed man and this dejected nation. Can you say amen? You're faithful to show mercy. That means there's hope for Israel. Even though they've sinned and become rebellious and rejected the word of the Lord, there's still hope for Israel. Because of what? He's faithful to show mercy. Can you say amen? If they return to him, what's going to happen? If they return in true repentance and contrition, what's going to happen? If they return to God, how's he going to react because of that faithfulness to his mercy? What's he going to do? He's going to return to them. That's why when the prodigal came home, because of the love that produced mercy in his father's heart, his father ran to meet him and didn't talk about his past, didn't talk about penance, didn't talk about trying to do something to make up for it. Because if you really look at what he did, there's nothing he could do to make up for it. Can you say amen? But there's something God can do. So salvation is always God's initiative. It's God's to give and it's ours to receive. Hallelujah. Jesus taught that every time we celebrate Holy Communion, we're to do it specifically in remembrance of him. Do this, he said, in remembrance of me. He wanted us to recall it to our minds and to retain it in our minds. Particularly his passionate love for us that he expressed in his sacrificial death on the cross. God's wonderful mercy that sent his only begotten Son to be our sin bearer, our sacrifice lamb. Man, young or old, has a tendency to forgetfulness. And the older you get, I'm told, it gets worse. Someone said there's three things that show you're getting older. One of them is that sometimes your eyesight begins to dim. Another of them is forgetfulness. I can't seem to remember the third. Amen. Forgetfulness. Holy Communion is to help us keep the cross vivid in our memory. Everybody say vivid in our memory. You'll never lose the first love if you keep the cross and Jesus on it for you vivid in your memory. Can you say amen? You will never do that. When you pursue gifts of the Spirit, when you pursue ministry more than the cross in your life. There are people that I heard a pastor say or a speaker say that he's met pastors with huge churches that didn't have a heart for God. They were great organizers. They were great preachers. But you could tell when you meet them in their personal life, they were not on a personal pursuit of God. I love A.W. Tozer's title of his great book. It's become a Christian classic, In Pursuit of God. amen, a ministry's chief aim should continue to be to know Him, to pursue Him, not just to build our ministry, build churches, preach great messages, amen, even see people saved, amen, but there should be a personal walk that pursues God. Can you say amen? But we forget so quickly. When we walk away from that humbleness and that great appreciation and we begin to pursue other things. Heard the story of a man who went to visit his grandfather and grandmother. Very aged, and they lived on a farm. He was amazed to see the spotted dog they owned herding cattle into the barn. Sitting on the porch beside his grandpa, he asked, "What is that dog's name?" His grandpa replied, "What's that flower with thorns on the stem that smells so good?" "A rose?" his grandson replied. "That's it," said Grandpa. And then he yelled through the screen door to Grandma, "Hey, Rose, what did we name that dog?" You know, we laugh, but every one of us have a tendency to forget the hand of the Lord that brought us up out of the land of bondage. Remember when you first got saved, how vivid that was, how vivid the cross was, how vivid His grace was, how vivid His mercy was. Hey, amen. I used to watch Jimmy Swaggart, after years of preaching, sit down at a piano at an altar call in one of those big crusades, begin to sing Jesus, just the mention of His name. And what thrilled me was is to watch this man that had preached for years and to thousands, and preaching was, you know, just so easy for him. And talking about Jesus was what he did. It was his whole life. And yet, when he sang that song, you'd watch the tears begin to well up in his eyes and come rolling down his cheeks. Jesus, just the mention of his name. Can you say amen? He hadn't lost that sensitivity yet. Amen. And David didn't lose that wonderful understanding and appreciation for the mercies of God. Remember the song we used to, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing." If you want to extol something powerful and wonderful about God that has so transformed your life, amen, let's praise Him for His mercy today. Hallelujah. As time goes on, we have a greater tendency to forget the really important things. Recalling the truth about our great God is vital to our victory. The reason for the defeat of God's people when He brought them out of Egypt is because they forgot and became discouraged. Holy Communion is a time to remember the love and the mercy of God. It's not just about power, but the reason God lets that power flow. It's so beautiful, so wonderful. Let me just read from Psalm 78, 40 through 42 quickly. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And the reason is in verse 42. They remembered not His hand. Everybody say His hand. Nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. I looked up that phrase, His hand, and some of the Hebrew scholars said, this has to do with God's heart. Not just His hand outstretched to deliver them, but His heart that caused that hand to be outstretched. One translator actually translates that, amen, that he puts it this way, they forgot His love and power and the day that He delivered them out of Egypt. Can you say amen? Pentecostals get on a power trip and they miss the love that provided the grace and mercy for that power to flow. Why does the Holy Spirit indwell us? Because mercy has flowed to us in the forgiveness of all of our sins and sanctifying our spirits to the degree that God through the Spirit can come and live in us. Can you say amen? All of that power is there because this mercy has been extended to you and me. If it wasn't for that mercy, no one would qualify for that power to come within us. And I watch people on the power trip pursuing the gifts and the supernatural feelings and titillations and revelations and didn't just pursue, amen, what David did to know this God personally who was so loving, filled with loving kindness. This word mercy and loving kindness in the Old Testament Hebrew is one and the same. It's hasid. You have to say it as if you've got a popcorn kernel in your throat. Hasid. Can you say amen? But when you say that word hasid, you're talking about that flows from divine agape love in the heart of God. And a lot of people think their love for their loved ones, their love for their baby, their love for their wife, their love for their husband somehow is comparative to God's love, that it can be stretched to certain limits and begin to back off. But you don't understand. You can't compare divine love to your human love. There was no word for it until divine love began to be revealed through Jesus Christ. And then they had to make up a word, come up with a word, manufacture a word that is descriptive of divine love that so surpasses human love. It's as far above it as the heavens are from the earth. Everybody say agape. It's a more powerful love than you have for your husband, your wife, your child, your mother, your father. Amen. That's why when Jesus was quizzing Peter, he said, "Do you agape me?" And Jesus said, and Peter answered, "Lord, I phileo you. I love you. I love you." He said, "I'm talking about, will you love me back with the kind of love that I love you with? Amen. I died for you. Will you love me enough to die for me?" Can you say amen? Because only loving me back that way is going to keep you, amen, from the enemy. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, not just to love others like God loves them, but to love Him the way He loves us. Oh, listen to this. Did you get that? I don't think you got it. Amen. Amen. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And we always see that in loving others with God's love. Now, we're not very good at even that most of the time. Most people that say, "I love you" at church don't love you like God loves you. Believe me. Huh? Everybody laughing because we know it's true. We need some work on the inside. The Holy Ghost was given to you to cause you to do more than speak in tongues. I don't have any problem giving a message or interpreting a message. I have a gift of interpretation. Amen. God brings it. I hears it. I says it. It's that simple. Can you say, "Man, I hear in my heart what He's saying"? Amen. Isn't that incredible? Some of you don't have any problem preaching the truth of the gospel. But you have a real issue with loving people like God loves them. I tell you, the more I read about what David did, the more problem I had loving David. I thought David just great till I really got down deep into what the man did. I thought, man, somebody ought to slap him. I'm serious. David was despicable. He did things that were heinous sins. And the absolute debauchery of it all. And yet God showed mercy to him. Not because God is soft on sin, but because God loves fallen man. Boy, if you don't mix this in it, you're going to miss this whole thing. You're going to try to minister to people a truth that isn't really spoken in love. And I'm not talking about your brand and my brand. I have an ability to love you with phileo, which is the highest form of human love. Amen? There's a city called the City of Brotherly Love called Philadelphia. It's named after a church filled with that kind of love called the Church of Philadelphia. Amen? But I guarantee you on the mean streets of Philadelphia, you could film a good cops episode. So the name is one thing and the reality is another. You're not going to go there and find everyone all smiles and greeting you and hugging you and not hurting you. Church is another place that should be called Philadelphia. See, we're not even real good into the phileo love. Hello? Fruit of the Spirit is what? First, primary, fundamental. Love. What kind of love? The fruit of whose spirit? Your spirit? Your religious brand? No. The fruit of God's Holy Spirit. The love of God is the first thing God does when He gets in you is not give you power to prophesy, power to preach, power to do miracles, power to receive revelation. He gives you power to love like He loves. Well, you didn't hear me today. Amen. The love of God is what? Shed abroad in our heart. That's like a rainbird. Sprinkler. It means to sprinkle, to saturate, to permeate. How many times we are so quick to cut deep. I've done it. Someone came to me one time and said, "Pastor Venable, they were just visiting our church. They never came faithful, but they came long enough to criticize and leave. And And so they came to criticize and leave again. And they said, there was this couple said they used to come to your church. And this is after a glorious service. And I was feeling so soft and sweet inside. You know, I just felt like, oh, Jesus. You ever sung the song, makes me love everybody. Me love everybody. Makes. I do love you. Just, you know, sometimes things happen. When people do certain things, push certain, and they said, there was a couple that left your church, and they said you were unkind. And I thought, when was I ever unkind? No, I said, you know, you could be right. I don't recall it. No one's ever come and told me so I could apologize or make it right. And I can't honestly recall just nailing somebody after the service, but you know, I probably have the capability, and I didn't say that facetiously, I could possibly be caught in an unkind moment. And Ruth said, we all have. Sometimes said when you shoot into a bunch of dogs barking by your house, the one that hollers is the one that got hit. Can you say amen? Sometimes I say, oh me, when I hear the word. I'm not going to deny that I can't fail someone's expectations. I am going to say, amen, that I love Jesus and I really want to follow him and serve him. But if perfection is what you're looking for, I'm going to have to defer you from me. I do not preach myself. I don't let myself off the hook, and I'm willing to stand up and apologize to anybody that perceived that I've wronged. And I won't start it with if I have wronged you in any way, because if I have, amen, I want to be specific. I don't like to hear that. If you've wronged me, tell me I wronged you, I'm sorry, and I will graciously forgive you. Can you say amen? But don't play this game. If I have, in other words, I don't think I have, but if you haven't, then hush. Come on, if you haven't, let's don't even go there. Amen. If you haven't, don't forgive. Don't ask forgiveness for something you didn't do in the first place. That's silly. Verging on stupid. Can you say amen? Ask forgiveness for what you did. And if you're not convinced you did it, then you must not have done it. And if you didn't do it, then don't apologize for it. Amen. We just have a problem, amen, just confessing. Just coming clean. Say, you know something? I am truly sorry. Will you please forgive me? If you don't, God's going to get you. You realize that. You got to forgive me, son. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But the same judgment you meet with Al is going to be meted to you again. I can't present perfection. I can't present that. It's not within me. Paul Youngi Cho pastors a church of 250,000 people. He said missionaries come all day asking for help, and they help all that they can. But he said there's a never-ending line of people that come to Korea to ask him to sponsor their missions. He said, we can't possibly sponsor every mission and every missionary in the world. And he said, I'd had a morning of nothing but people accusing me of not being loving and not being kind and not being, you know, all those things by not being responsive enough to their letters and appeals. And there was two men in my office, and they were really nailing me. And he said, you know, it'd been one of those mornings. And he said, I heard this high, shrill voice raised in volume, very agitated, saying, get out of my office. Go now. Go now. And he said, it occurred to me, it was my voice. And he said, then that afternoon, I went to pray. And he said, this came in my face. See, there's two forces will go to work to bring that back to you. God's desire in mercy to forgive you and restore you. And the enemy's desire to break you down, disqualify you, and shove you aside as rubbish. Amen? Amen? Condemnation is not the same thing as conviction. The Holy Ghost doesn't come to put a finger on my sin or yours so that he can put us down, so he can cleanse us and lift us up. Isn't that incredible? That's what mercy does. That's how mercy operates. He said, I remember scripture. He said, I look out window. I could not pray. I had a block in my prayer of faith. He said, I look out window, sun going down. He said, I say, you know, I remember scripture that says, don't let sun go down on your wrath. Can you say amen? He said, I ran to phone. He said, I call people up and I say over phone, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? I am so sorry. He said, whether they forgive me or not, I do what God called me to do. It's from my heart and I know God has forgiven me. And I've asked forgiveness of man and I go on and I preach His gospel and I win souls for Christ. Remember me telling you about C.M. Ward? Going to the airport. The great evangelistic, the premier preacher for years and radio minister for the Assemblies of God. Amen. Going to the airport, flustered, having time limits and problems with baggage and all those different things that get us uptight. Does anybody in here ever get uptight? You know, of all the enemies of God's people, the Hittites and all the other tights in the Bible, I suppose the uptights should be listed. Can you say amen? Because when I'm wound up like a drum, even though I know better, amen. Did you know sometimes I find that just under the surface, I don't know how close I am to letting my flesh get a hold of me until something happens. And it might be something any other time that wouldn't affect me like it does, but it catches me just at that time of exhaustion, that time of stress, that time when you feel like, you know, I got it under control, but you're really just suppressing it down in here somewhere. And all of a sudden something triggers it and something pours out, comes out. Amen. And I'm not talking about, I quit cursing, you know, the day I got saved. And I never uttered a curse word since, no matter how mad or hurt. When I hit my thumb, I listen to see what I'm going to say. And so far, I've got the victory. Can you say amen? And when people do certain things, things come to my mind, but they don't get out my mouth. And as long as they don't get out my mouth, then I guess I'm okay. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. The anger does seep out. Even if the word doesn't come out, the expletive, amen, the anger will come out. And it might be true what I'm saying, but the anger is what hurts me so bad because I say I've lost control. Amen. The Spirit is not controlling me at this moment. The Holy Spirit is not in control. And I'm scared when the Holy Spirit is in control. I know what my capabilities are. I know that I have the propensity in my flesh. I'm bent toward sin in my flesh. I'm bent toward God in my reborn spirit. And there's a real battle that goes on between flesh and spirit. I want to get the pious out of their pedestals this morning. And I want you to know you have the capability, amen, to be vindictive. You have the capability to be vengeful. You have the capability to be unforgiving. You have the capability to magnify other people's sins so you can feel better about yourself. Some of the people that are hardest on other people have something in their own life undealt with, and it makes them feel better to find faults of others. I pastor a small church. It may shock you that are hearing this tape, but I do. And people on the tape says, yeah, probably just 500 or 600, one of those little ones. But I preach a big God. And one of the easiest things for me to do is find a prosperous church that's really doing well and people all excited and seeing all those people out there in that audience and say, let me see what I can find wrong there. And there's wrong in ministries. There's wrong in doctrine. There's some wrong things that we have to face and we have to deal with. But we shouldn't go out with a magnifying glass, putting it on everybody, looking at everybody suspect. Now, let me see what I can find wrong with Sister Venable. You know, there is a love, Peter said. There is a love, and it's that agape kind of love, amen, there is a love, amen, there is a love. There is a love, Peter said. There is a love. There is a love that produces a mercy. There is a love that doesn't look for what's wrong, but rejoices in what's right and wants to solve what's wrong and resolve what's wrong. I'm convinced if you fall in love with Jesus, if I can provoke you to love and good works, primarily to love God and to serve Him first, not just to love people first, but to love God first and then to love people. If I can provoke you to love and good works, if a man loved me, guess what? What happens when you really fall in love with God? When you really respond to His mercy by loving Him back? Amen. If a man loved me, won't be grievous. He won't be look like he's been sucking persimmons when he hears the word of God. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. If people just fall in love with Jesus and begin to respond to his mercy again, get excited about being saved and what saved you. And serve God with a pure heart. Find joy in it. Get excited about being saved. Freely you've received, freely give. Be merciful to other people. Sometimes I feel that welling up. Amen. Particularly at work. I'm glad. You know, you can stay in some areas, some safe zones in clergy. Telephone and somebody at your door, but you can back off and try to get away from people that are antagonistic. I know a pastor that was in a building program. I know him personally. Went to church where he went to church. He was kind of a co-pastor when I was growing in the Lord. Amen. He was building a huge building program, building a church. And he said there was a couple in that church that absolutely, they would drain him to the ground. He said he was in his office, amen, looking over the plans for the new sanctuary. And he said they had such family problems, they just stayed in his office. They wanted him, not God. He'd try to point them to God. They were looking to him for the answers. They were desperate for him to give them the magic formula. Well, I got a magic, not magic formula, but I got a real biblical formula for you this morning if you're having family problems. Amen. There are two things down here, two pieces of furniture down here in front of the church. We used to use them and utilize them. If a man loves God and a woman loves God and they'll get down on their knees before God, God will solve your family problems, your personal problems. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, we could get rid of a huge part of the counseling staff of many churches if we get the altars used again. Listen, God will do business with you if you'll come humbly before Him. Hallelujah. God will change your heart. God will change your life. You say, well, it's my mate that needs it. Well, in order for your mate to change, he may need to change you first. Let the unbeliever and the believer dwell together if the unbeliever is content to stay there. Why? Because coupled with fear that the unbeliever might eventually get saved if you can stand him or her that long. Huh? But remember, God stood you until you got saved. That's called mercy. Let's get into mercy. Let's get into receiving it, appropriate it, and let's get into giving it freely to one another. Can you say amen? Thank God for the mercy that raised David up. How many love King David? How many want to watch him play when you get to heaven? How many would like to join him in a dance before God? Hallelujah. You know the reason he's going to be doing that? There's only one that you're going to see David there. There's only one that his name is still, amen, a name that is known and thought of with great love and respect. And it isn't because of his perfect life, but God's perfect love. Hallelujah. God's mercies lifted that man up. God's mercy sustained him. Woo! That's why I said I love him, because he even listens to me. I love him because he'd even bend his ear. He don't owe me anything, but he bows down when I pray. I love him for that. Hallelujah, I love him for that. Oh, let's get into this truth today. David's consistency and gratitude to God for his mercy and blessings because he kept them in remembrance. He kept them in remembrance. Our God is a God of consistent character. His mercies fail not. Listen to what he said in Psalm 103, and we're just going to touch this, and we're going to receive communion. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Psalm 103:1, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Forget not. Forget not. I got a list, David says, and I'm constantly reviewing the list of the benefits of his mercy toward me. Everybody say his mercy. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all of thine iniquities. Top of the list is forgiveness of sin. When the church, amen, fails to remember the glory, the majesty, the wonderful mercies that are expressed in Jesus, amen, on the cross, we begin to lose the first love, lose the enthusiasm, lose the excitement. We come to church saying, I'm forgiven. I other blessing flows out from that blessing. There's a tombstone in New England with a man's name on it, and underneath the name in huge block letters, there's one word inscribed. He was a Christian man, and he wanted this inscribed on his tombstone, and it says it all: forgiven. 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 There's only one way to die, and that's to die forgiven. Can you say amen? There's only one real way to live. Go ask David. And that's to live forgiven. Because you can't live, amen, without the need of forgiveness. But you can live by receiving forgiveness from God and going on with your life. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all of thy diseases. Son of David, have mercy on me. And he healed his blindness. Can you say amen? It's all flowing out of mercy. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. That's what we did, but what's wrong with us that made us do it? He even goes into the deep recesses of the heart, sees the sin, and said, I'm willing to forgive that in you and work in you to change that. Isn't that incredible of him? Who redeems thy life from destruction. David said, the only reason that I haven't been destroyed, amen, is because he is a redeemer. What mercy. He's just extolling God for his mercy. Loving kindness, there's the word for mercy and hasid. Used interchangeably, the word hasid for mercy and loving kindness. Unfailing love. And tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Praise God. Somebody say glory. Let's continue reading. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Everybody said his ways were made known to Moses. Amen. The Lord is what? It's part of his ways. Amen. He's merciful and gracious. Amen. If they had known that, they just saw the works of power. They didn't see the heart of God. But Moses saw the very heart of God. Can you say amen? And he said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and listen, plenteous in mercy. Sometimes I read of these families that have had a daughter killed by this guy that murdered her mercilessly. They forgive him, and they go and visit him in prison. Died for him, and that they've forgiven him. With all the pain and heartache, they still operate. And I think, how do they do that? Me sitting here thinking about somebody doing something like that to my daughter? Come on, your religious brand is not nowhere near God. You know what they've prayed for? They've prayed that God in his mercy would give them grace to go through this. And the Holy Ghost came in, shed the love of God abroad in their heart. And the same love that communicated that peace and that grace to be sustained to them is now in their heart. And they begin to feel it toward that person. They've got it on them. You don't have it on you, so you don't even try to compare. I'm like the guy, you know, that I worked with. He went to the First Baptist Church, and he was a deacon, I believe, in that church. But he was an auxiliary with the highway patrol, and he worked with me at Tampa Electric. And his house had been broken in 3 times. And they caught the guy that did it. They finally got him. City jail. And he went down to the desk of the local jail and he said, if you will give me 5 minutes with him alone in that cell, I'll drop all charges. He said, I'll break that old dog from sucking eggs. That's Plant City term. That's redneck thing. You probably wouldn't understand down here, you Tampa folk. He said, just give me 5 minutes alone with him and I'll drop the charges. That's what we want to do. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Why? Because before God ever moves in vengeance or to avenge, he offers mercy. Somebody say, what a good God we serve. Don't take for granted the reason you're saved today. You move away from that, you think you can sit up here in this high place and look down on others. Amen. There is no high place for you to sit. There is a place for you to kneel before the cross and thank God that He's been merciful to you, a sinner. He will not always chide our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He didn't give us what we deserved, did He? For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. See, that's above your love, your capacity. Amen, that's above the human ability. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. The New Testament spins off of that and said, I will remember their sins no more. I've disassociated them from their sin. Isn't that incredible? People may never do that, but God does it when He forgives. Because of God is so merciful that we are so blessed. Remember the simple definition of grace and mercy? Grace, you do get what you don't deserve. That's called unmerited favor. Everybody say, I get what I don't deserve. You do get what you don't deserve. Grace, it's unmerited favor. But mercy is you don't get what you do deserve. And that's judgment because you've been forgiven and acquitted. Everybody say acquitted. Deal with us from a standpoint of mercy. This is how mercy responds to our repentant hearts. In the new covenant, we have a redemptive term called justification. It's a forensic term. It's for use in a court of law. Through the blood of Jesus, our sins are forgiven and remitted, and we are acquitted. We're legally acquitted and set free. Amen? The Bible said in the book of Revelation, God would give you a white stone with a new name written. The white stone was given when someone was acquitted in a court of law. Black stone means you're guilty. You will pay the full penalty of the law. A white stone means the law has no further problem with you. You are free from any of the law's requirements. You have been acquitted. And the Bible said that Christ would give us all, over as overcomers, a white stone. Can you say, amen? Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Remember His mercy and His cross, His benefits and our blessings, we'll begin to praise Him and to love Him anew and afresh. There's a song that we haven't sung in years, but I heard it the other day, and I just copied down the words to it. So beautiful. It's called At Your Feet. My Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. The chorus says, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Everybody say at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Can you say amen? Everybody say the wonderful cross. Number two, quickly, we are loved with divine love as powerful and infinite as God's own heart. Everybody say divine love. Boy, some of you here used to be soft like clay. I remember you. So sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the you that wanted to be more like Him. Amen. The you that wasn't busy looking at them. Because you can't look at them and set your gaze on Him. Can you say, man? You got to get your eyes off them to see Him. Oh, you are one of them. Can you say, man? That will cause you not to see Him. Every time I start thinking about me and my trouble, me and my problems, me and my failures, me and my heartache, me and this and me and that, there's something that has taken my gaze from Him, and now it's on me. Amen. And the key to victory is setting your gaze upon Him, looking unto Jesus. That means sustaining Him in my memory, sustaining Him and His great love for me in my mind. Hello? Provoking me to love Him back. Constantly provoking me. Hallelujah. To rejoice in the mercy that is mine in Jesus Christ. This is a powerful love. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so His mercy, one translator said, so His unfailing love is toward them. The heavens beyond the heavens. I'm talking about the infinite. How many know there's no roof on heaven? How many know there's no end to it? This is a love that cannot be measured. It's love that knows no limits. How far are the heavens above the earth? The heavens extend for untold millions of miles above the earth. If we can understand the limits of our universe, then we can understand God's love for us. I cannot fully understand it, but I'm so thankful for it. Can you say amen? The Bible said we could know the love that God has for us, for God is love. We can only know it by the Spirit. We need to begin to get a new handle on divine love. Our God wants us to discover this supreme attribute of His character. We've known and believed the love that God has for us. 1 John said, because God is what? He has power, but who is He? What's intrinsic to His nature and character? God is love. Oh, wow. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we all begin to love God with that kind of love and love each other with that kind of love? Ephesians 3:17-19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, this is this agape love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge requires revelation of the Holy Spirit who searches the deep things of God. And He's not just going to reveal it to your mind intellectually. He's going to reveal it to your spirit and your heart. Experientially. It's not what you know in your head. It's what you're going to experience in your heart. Boy, when you experience that by the Holy Ghost, everybody's on a power trip. We need to get grounded on the foundation of this divine love. Fullness of God is not represented by how much of His power, but how much of His person you have in your life. Power in the blood. There's mercy in the blood. There's love in the blood too. Can you say that? There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's also the capacity to love like God loves in the Holy Ghost. And we're called to that before we're called to preach. We're called to that before we're called to teach. We're called to that before we're called to prophesy. We're called to that before we're called to speak in tongues. We're called to that before we're called to faith. Hallelujah. I have all faith to remove mountains and don't have this as the foundation for it all. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, everybody say mighty power, and I don't have this foundation of love, I become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, a lot of clanging noise with no real substance. Wow! How did we miss it? Why do we go after more stuff and more power instead of more of Him? Paul's secret of resilience under the pressure of persecution, temptation, was his faith in God's unfailing love. He said in Romans 8:35-39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There's the key to victory. Just as great faith. Just confessing the word. No, he said, I've tapped into that mercy that flows from the loving heart of God. Nothing can separate me from it. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can stop His unfailing love from coming through. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we show the Lord's death till He come. We proclaim that we are loved this much. That He died for us, and not just for us, but that all might be forgiven. On the yard, as we close this morning, get ready for communion. On the yard of a little church in Germany, there's a statue of a lamb that has this is actual truth, that has an interesting story to tell. A group of men were working on the roof of the church one day when one tripped and fell to the ground. Quickly, the other men ran down the ladder, expecting to see him dead. On the ground, there was a lamb that was feeding below. The man fell on it, crushed the lamb. He absorbed the blow when the man fell. He was so grateful that he had a statue of a lamb erected in the very place where he fell. And it reads in German, translated to English, memorial to the crushed lamb. Everybody say memorial to the crushed lamb. This is in essence what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's about Jesus, the lamb that was so crushed for us that we might live. I can't withhold mercy from anybody in the presence of the crushed lamb. Can you say amen? I can't be nonchalant when I hear the message of the cross in the presence of the crushed lamb. We receive mercy, we are loved divinely, and our sins are gone. That's the last point. Everybody say, my sins are gone. As far as the east is from the west, verse 12 says, so from the west. That means we're separated from our sins through the shed blood of Christ. God no longer sees us associated with our sins. Believers in Jesus Christ have had their sins removed by a compassionate Heavenly Father, never to be remembered again. When we travel toward the western horizon from the east, you never reach it. It simply stretches on before you. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far our sins are gone. Matthew, in recording a section of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, use the word aphemi for forgive. It means to send away. Come on, it doesn't mean that, it's okay, I don't hold anything against you now, but you haven't heard this, I will forgive them. Come on, but I will what? If you never forget, then you'll bring it to your remembrance if they bother you sometime. You'll replay it. It's still on the tape. It has not been deleted. Can you say amen? God says their sins I will what? I'll delete. Hallelujah. Listen. You can delete it, and then you can still have them go in, pull your hard drive out of your computer, and it's still in there on the hard drive. God said, listen, I'm not just going to delete it from your computer. I'm going to delete it from my hard drive. So they wrote a song about that. Someone is that has repented of sin, and now the devil's trying to accuse them of past sins. Amen. Is trying to repent to God again, and they're going back to God to repent of the sins that He wiped away. And the song says, what sins are you talking about? Well, it's time to get into mercy and get on with our life. And just say amen. Hallelujah. How many know you don't belong to the devil? How many know he doesn't have a claim on you? How many know that God does have a claim on you? You do belong to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To bear away. Same word was used when Jesus rebuked the fever. Some writer said in Peter's mother-in-law, to bear it away, to get it away from her. That's the kind of forgiveness Psalm 103:12 describes as God. They laid hands on Him to transfer all their sins to Him. And then they led Him into the wilderness so far away that predators would kill Him. He'd die of starvation. He would never find His way back. Amen. To bear away. Jesus is our sin bearer. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus made it possible. We remember these facts when we participate in the Lord's Supper. May we honor the one who made it possible to us to get what we didn't deserve, forgiveness and eternal life. It's a brand new day. His mercies were new this morning. Somebody say this morning. Remember the blood covenant, the mercy seat, the great Savior, and the great salvation that is ours in Christ. God can still give us beauty for ashes. Everybody say, God can still give us beauty for ashes. Let me read you this story. We received communion, number one on here and then 12 on the other one. I'll tell you that afterwards. Are you ready for communion to celebrate mercy? Is anybody here at all excited about God working in you because He still loves you and He's merciful to you? By looking at you. I'll take my glasses off. It's a lot better sometimes. Things are not as vivid. That twitch when I say something about sin. Anyway, moving right along. There was a man named Antonio who lived from 1644 to 1737. He was a violin maker. He did not make these valuable pieces of wood. In fact, they were carved from lumber that had been thrown away. This man was poor and could not afford to get precious wood. So he used what was available to him. Everybody say, isn't that like God? He would go down to the harbor where he would pick up dirty, waterlogged pieces of wood, take them to his shop. It was there he discovered, while that wood lay in those dirty waters, little microbes went into the wood and ate out the center of the wood. Because of that, all that was left was the fibrous infrastructure of the wood. From this wood, he produced violins that everyone wants even today. From that that was discarded, he made things of beauty. I've told you this story to let you know, just as this man took trash and turned it into treasure, Jesus is able to take us from the sin and dirtiness and make us beautiful. As you partake of the Lord's Supper, think about how beautiful you are and can be in His sight when He gives you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise of the spirit of heaviness. Remember His wonderful mercy. Remember His wonderful love. Remember that Jesus is your sin bearer. The sin in your life, confess, repent, and listen to me. Never look back. Can you say, amen? God has a wonderful plan for your life. Appropriate His blood. Live in His victory. And let Him do a new thing. Let Him do a new thing. Amen. I'll tell you, if revival comes to you, you're going to have to let God do something new. Because if what we have right now, if we don't have it already, then God wants to do something new and different. And guess who determines whether He's able to or not? You and me. You and me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for me to use you? Are you ready for me to make out of you, yea, what I have designed for you before you were even born, saith God? Do you not know how I've committed my heart and my power to your life, saith God? But I can't help you if you're in the cave of discouragement. You've got to come out of that cave, saith God. Come out of that cave and let me work my work. Look not to others, look unto me. I am the one that called you. I am the one that saved you. I am the one that sealed you. And I am the one that doth work in you now, saith God. Somebody give Him praise. Room service, Holy Communion. Would someone just serve us today? Some servant heart. Amen. Let that come forth while we're waiting. The presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Bring that right on up. Bring that right on up. Everybody say thank you, Lord.